Welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your seductive shamisen of anime. It's me, your non-expert, Eric. And who's that sitting right next to me? You dastardly little devil, you. I see you in your dark desires. It's you, the listener. And Metzger, she guide us a path of righteous pleasure. She is at the front of the bus. Her name is Metzger. She is our expert. Metzger, what dastardly delectables do we have this week?
Listener, you only have to hear that once. I had to live through it, and then I have to edit it.
Metzger, I really want to focus in on...
I fucking hated that so much. I hated your Justin McElroy bullshit.
I want to focus in on dark, seductive pleasures this week. Things that, like, maybe are a bit taboo. Things that, like, maybe might not be accepted by the general public. Things that maybe are, a little kind of out there. Metzger, this week we have we've been watching two animes. The first one is Delicious in Dungeon, and the second one is The Lion, the Witch, and the Beast. In both of them, we have what could only be described as fucking sociopaths. Which one would you like to start with first?
Let's do Delicious in Dungeon first.
All right. So that's the one that inspired this intro.
Yeah, it took me a little while to get there to figure out what the fuck you were doing.
Yeah, the sadistic pleasure of a sociopath is kind of the emphasis on the intro this week. And that comes back to our main character, who he's like, but if they're suits of armor, how are we going to eat them? Like, you can eat your own armor, you fucking freak.
I don't want to do that. I paid money for this.
Metzger, before we get too deep into the spoilers of why I think our boy might be a fucking insane sociopath, why don't we get a synopsis?
Okay, this week in Delicious in Dungeon, Metzger forgot all of that shit about the living armor and was only thinking about the trap sequence.
Was it the part with well, what, come on, give me more.
Like how we oddly fixated on two different parts of the episode. Yeah. And yours was about armor eating.
Yeah. We'll hit where exactly mine kind of pushed me over the edge. Let's talk about your thing first.
Mine kind of expands upon where we left off in the last episode, where Marcille was struggling with wanting to find value as a party member. Except this time, we go through it with Chilchuck. Chilchuck is a halfling who is really good at, he's like a rogue, right? Like, he's good at stealth, he's really good at disarming traps, and that's kind of what he really brings to the table, and that's what he's skilled at, and he takes great pride in that. But unfortunately, that pride almost comes to a point where he looks down on others. And since he blunders through life, but definitely when he's around Chilchuck, it almost seems like he's just kind of blundering through, almost to aggravate him.
Yeah, for sure, right? Like, we have a dex build character that's all about, like, you know, the sleight of hand, the like trap disarm, things like that. And then we have some other character, the magic build. We got the cooking build, kind of a skill-based one. And then we have our strength and constitution and lucky rolls. That is our main character's build.
Well, the cooking one, he's also a he's like a damage dealer. He's a physical DPS.
I would describe him as more barbarian-esque.
Yeah, that's fair. He's got big feet, and he accidentally steps on fire traps, and Chilchuck does not appreciate it. I don't super understand why Chilchuck has a problem. I don't know if it's just because he thinks that Senshi is putting them at danger, or maybe he thinks that Senshi is not respecting him, and he puts everyone in a tiny box. Like emotionally.
This is what you're good at, this is what I'm good at, let me be good at my thing, yeah.
Yeah, he takes it a step too far. Like, you know, there's the don't tell me how to do my job? Yeah. Well, he takes it a step too far of let me do my job and let me tell you how to do your job. This is why I love Senshi. Because Senshi goes, okay, do you want to play that game? And does malicious compliance. You know, Senshi goes down the malicious compliance. Like, okay, you're good at the traps? Well, get me this oil out of this trap because I need this hot oil. And then you're in control of rigging and charging the fire because you're good at traps. And since this is a trap-based fire and trap-based oil, then that means it's not true cooking, it's trap cooking. And now you get to cook all of the shit. And Chilchuck doesn't do the best job at frying, right? It's not a skill set that he has. And instead of Senshi going, huh, pleb, you suck, Senshi helps him find value in it. Right?
Yeah.
That's what stuck with me. It was beautiful and it was wonderful character development. What do you feel like?
I'm just verifying I watched the correct episode.
Did I watch the wrong episode? You didn't watch any of the traps?
I watched that one. But then I also... Episode 3 was Living Armor.
Where was the traps then?
That was last week's. Yeah, we barely talked about last week's.
God damn it. I'm keeping it in here. Because it was my favorite part.
Okay, that's fine.
And now we'll talk about...
Metzger, isn't it convenient that, like, he's like, oh, I remember how I got this sword. It was my first time dying, which answers a question that we had talked about at one point. And he's like, oh, man, my sword's, like, little thing's starting to come. Oh, man, you know how I got this sword? I fought some armor and stuff like that. Then literally the next thing they fight is a bunch of living armor.
Yeah, apparently, I guess they kind of see it on the regular.
Yeah, it seems like...
I mean, everybody knows where it is.
Seems like the goblin of this world, right? Like...
The living armor?
Yeah, the intro fight.
Maybe it's, like, your introduction to some of the lower levels. Like, not lower levels, but... You know, you encounter things. Like scorpions and those mushroom things and... I wouldn't say it's, like, goblins.
So I actually really like the kind of setup for this of them being like, well, I know that in the past they only really, you know, kind of lash out when you get close, and you know that theirs is kind of a very like, oh, you've invaded my space, now I strike. But now, you know, they all kind of move to protect the door. Well, that implies something is behind the door. I like that level of reasoning. That's actually what, like, that's an Eric DM level of thing that I want to happen in my campaigns.
I'm again a little bit upset that, like, Marcel has to be wrong, though. Like, Marcel is like, I definitely understand how Limic armor works, and it's controlled by a magic user. So,
to be fair, that is canonically, like, how it works.
Yeah, and then she's fucking wrong, and it's like, could you give my girl a win?
She needs a break, right? We've been shitting
she
on her a little
hard.
She needs
to be right at least once.
Yeah. The long story short, he ends up fighting the big boss armor by himself as they distract the rest of them. And he progressively figures out by you know, trial and error and figuring shit out that that there's mollusks inside of there, and they're moving the armor, kind of like joints, kind of using it as a structure and moving it the things kind of like joints. And so there's a bunch of little mollusks in there that you can pry off. And it's at this moment that I would like to talk about what the fucking sociopath is that he goes, and if it's not magic, if it's not just animated armor, if it's a mollusk, then it's a monster I can eat. And he just gets so fucking pumped about he doesn't even at this point, he doesn't even care. He's not even hungry. He just wants to eat monsters. This insane man is just only wants to fight monsters he can eat. He's not hungry. They've got food. They're not concerned. Like they are perfectly okay. And he is the only gonna strike at creatures that he can eat. And it is unhinged.
He's always been this way, though.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, he's always been this way, but it seems like he was quieter about it. Now he's got Senshi with him. He's like frenzied.
Yeah. He's got an enabler for his monster drug habit.
It's the BDSM thing where, like, your first relationship, when you first started to get into it, like, you start going too far and too fast.
I'm a virgin.
You're a virgin.
Canonically. I'm the non-expert. So, we get essentially, oh, hey, it's kind of like a mollusk, and then we can cook it kind of like a mollusk, and we have the usual girl being like, oh, I don't know. That's the usual hesitation to eat new monster food that eventually...
If you're a girl, you won't even eat monsters.
And then that's the end of it.
This entire anime is based off the premise of that 90s boy marketed kids toy that made candy, like gummy candy, in the shape of like gross monsters and bugs. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the boys' version of the Easy Bake Oven, except it made like Dr. Frankenstein things. I had that toy growing up.
I did not. That was, I think, just missed me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was in that peak age. Yeah. I had an Easy Bake Oven and I had the Boy Monster Factory one because I was a creep even as a child.
You know what we're in the peak age of right now?
What's that?
Anime. And you know where people can interact with us?
You know, really are in the peak age of anime.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to fucking pick which ones of these shits we're gonna fucking watch? Because they're all so good. And it's hard to tell at this point which ones are gonna be the absolute best and which ones are gonna fall short. Because they all have the same kind of production quality and care and decent stories. My job's hard.
And you know where you can give advice on Metzger's job? That's at
Anime... Yeah,
that'd be
fantastic.
Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, Anime _ Bus on X, formerly known as Twitter, and animetourbus.wordpress.com is where you can check us out, see our episodes, and find out more about us. Yeah, if you think you have, like, good ideas for what anime we should watch within our rules, because it's got to be stuff that, like, oh, is brand new, kind of coming out, the latest and greatest kind of thing.
We're not going to watch Dragon Ball Z, guys.
We're not going to go through the Attack on Titan.
We're not watching One Piece. Get the fuck over it.
We will watch the Netflix live action
One Piece. No, we won't.
I have been, and I think it's wonderful.
That's Eric. Eric can watch it. He can think whatever he wants about it, but we're not covering it on this.
I did watch the live action Dragon Ball movie back in the day and was not impressed.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
You know what you should watch?
What?
Has-Been Hotel.
I actually did watch that. I'm
oh
caught up.
Oh my god! Yay!
All six episodes, and I'm waiting for the seventh, you know, like everybody else.
Oh, maybe we should do like a Discord watch party.
Maybe we will. Hey, Metzger, we have another anime to talk about.
Has been. Oh, wait. Sorry. Different demon.
That's not an anime.
No, it's not. You're right.
But you know what is an anime?
The Witch and the Beast.
Metzger, we get the exciting conclusion from
our setup. Noir.
Our setup from last week. Metzger, can you give me a bit of that synopsis?
Well, it was those damn meddling kids that we thought what were dead.
It was when we literally got their masks off.
Yeah. We didn't get Scooby-Dude.
And we weren't wearing the crow face. Well, no longer was that the case. We discover that it was okay. So the main detective girl, she's like, "Oh man, I gotta figure this out." And they say, "Oh yeah, well, let's figure this out." And then they get dropped off and then get promptly attacked. And then they put some puzzle pieces together. They say, "Hey, it seems like all these attacks kind of seem a little bit featured around you. What's going on with that? What's going on there?" And she gives some story about like her kids essentially being
murdered
in a big fire, and like there's a giant like signs, all these riddles and shit like that, which I never understood how the kids were a part of the riddles and shit, but long story short, it was her adopted children that she just wanted to give love and care in the world. Well, they discovered a pair of books on her desk,
a set of forbidden knowledge,
a grimoires of forbidden power. That then let them cast purple gas and do some magic tricks and kill. Yeah,
I do. Can we take a second to appreciate that it really seems like the only power the grimoire gives them is stink bomb
and teleport?
They can teleport, but only like within a kilometer. And
telekinesis. Because they're throwing big block shits around.
They are. That is the only, like, real big power, because the rest of it is just, like, really bad gas.
Yeah, that you can't see through, but I guess they can see through.
But it takes human sacrifices to be able to cast the gas.
And if you can convince them that they've hit their margin that day...
Also, these two little shits have KPIs on gas production.
Yeah. So they, no kidding. Like the one, he's like producing gas and the other kid's getting a nosebleed. Like, so they have to, in this case, like, "Oh, hey, we've killed our 10 people today." And he's like, and he has that Anya shit-eating grin on. "Hey, what'd you do with those leather bags?" We said in a foreshadowing way. "Aw, nothing." I liked at one point, I was like, they said, "Oh, we kept casualties to a minimum."
Yeah, I noticed that too, and was like, "You've got to be fucking kidding me." Like, three dudes just got shredded. All these guys got hit with, like, pieces of detritus and debris. Like, what, at this point, how bad are your casualties to where this is the minimum?
And yeah, this, like, was acceptable. Like, that dude had a wife and, well, in fact, he did not, because he was just a leather bag of blood.
Yeah, he was a literal blood bag.
So we tricked him into thinking.
They didn't say it was blood. They just said red liquid.
So, Metzger, what's interesting to me is there's clearly, like, in a video game, you know, where you're like, "Oh, you got to capture the 10 Power World lands, whatever." You have to hit the quote, and it'll say, like, "Oh, 4 out of 10, 7 out of 10, whatever." I guess there's not one for the book. they clearly didn't hit their quota, and for that, the book was taking it out on them and not giving them as much. And also, the girl just punched him real good.
She did, and I do really appreciate the attention to detail where they made the voice actor talk like his face was swollen.
Yeah.
Just to show us the really fucked up, swollen face.
These two, like, pretty boys were then just, like, they looked like weird goblins.
It does seem very teenage boy to be like, this is your fault. You left the grimoires where we could get them, and we love you, and we wanted to just keep everyone else away from you. So this is totally...
You're too old. You're too young to be my mom. And so I have these feelings for you that I can't describe. So the only way for me to do this is to murder everyone around you.
And it's all your fault, by the way. You made this happen.
That brings us to some interesting points. The first is, what do you think about her killing them?
I think at this point, well, we don't know how this world views how their justice system works.
Mm-hmm.
So she might be well within her rights as a you know, mage of the state and the police to cast judgment on the scene and kill them. I think that the order is not gonna bother to out her.
No. I'm thinking about the morality around her killing them for what they did and all that. Because the other piece that I wanted to bring up was I have this feeling that the book to some degree takes and taints you and obviously makes you kill people and stuff like that in order to satiate it and keep going, right? There's a cost for everything.
Like drugs.
The almost I don't know, kind of brings out the worst parts of you, exaggerates them, is a whisper in the mind that justifies all actions.
Yeah, like meth.
I would actually say more like heroin, because heroin notoriously blocks off oxytocin receptors and makes it so you don't feel guilt when harming family members and shit. So
that's fine. Sure.
Yeah. I would say that. Yeah. So that's something that I was kind of going to bring up. And then also if your drug of choice is a book that murders or inspires you to murder,
spooky grimoire read, I mean, that would be my drug of choice.
Is your adopted mom killing you? Is that justified? And then the guy does add a kind of a layer to this and says, hey, you killing them is a mercy thing, because that book would have killed them far worse.
Well, yeah, we have to admit that the grimoire, even if you're paying the price, the grimoire is still going to...
It'll win eventually. One day, right?
Yeah. Kind of like heroin.
God, I could fucking go for some heroin.
And I think it would be really easy to say that, they had them apprehended. So I'm thinking about the police escalation of force sort of thing. And there would be no reason to kill them. But then, it's fine. I think that they would have been put to death in a fair trial anyways, because they did kind of kill they were killing 10 people a day.
Yeah.
So the actions of the book, whatever, you still have to be responsible for what you did. So, I don't have any qualms with her killing them.
Okay. I mean, that's what I was here to ask. I didn't have an answer, but I was like, oh, man, this is a little weird, right? Adopted mom, and she seems so, dead set on that being the correct answer. I was like, oh, I think that was something worth kind of exploring, kind of talking about, maybe.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking that it would be really hard to have adopted them to then shoot them. But she thought they died in a house fire a while before. Plus, they murdered her boyfriend, which is kind of like their pseudo adoptive father.
Teacher and boyfriend.
That's true. Yeah. and, you know, just slaughtering innocents. I think she's pretty level-headed with what she did, actually. Like, hey, this is kind of...
She didn't seem to have regrets, I'll say that.
I think it had to be done. And she probably knows enough about a grimoire to know that their brains are too far gone at this point.
Yeah, and that's another thing of, like, how much does she know? Like, does she kind of understand, like, everything involved there? Like, oh, okay, like... Yeah, she gets it that they're too far gone.
No, the real thing is, how did the grimoires get there?
Yeah, so that brings up a fun
she's
thing
lied.
Of like
she's lied to them before. Like she's lied to our two main characters by telling them, "Hey, this I can cast a barrier that makes that I'll know if you're lying." So then, how possible is it that when push comes to shove she goes to be like, how did those grimoires get there?
That's interesting. No, so she said, oh, I didn't put them there, they weren't on my desk. And she claimed that they weren't, right? Like, that's, you brought up a layer.
Yep. I don't think it goes anywhere.
My suspicion is that, like, they would write it off as, like, oh, the books just magically appear where they choose to be. And that would be kind of where they stop with that. But it would be interesting if that weren't the case and it were something more along the lines of,
she's actually,
I don't know,
like a hidden witch and she's doing something heinous.
I was actually more kind of thinking like that the books can't that it's more of like the power of the ring kind of thing where the books can't just kind of walk themselves to a location or magically appear there, that there has to be some level of transport and that like there's someone who put the books there. And who is that person?
I don't know. I don't think someone would break into a detective mage house to leave two grimoires there for her adopted children.
But maybe they only need to bring one because the other will call it to it. Like that's kind of the level that I think would be fun is if we had someone planting seeds of witchery all throughout the world.
What if she did put them there herself? Because she went to that weird bookstore where that guy was murdered and the books called out to her and then she just forgot.
Whoop. Slipped my mind! You know what else slips my mind, Metzger?
Time.
Yeah, it's that time. The bus is pulling up to its final stop, at least for this week. Next week, we'll be exploring more sensual pleasures. But until then, we can chat with you. We can talk with you. We can hang with you on Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter. And hey, check us out at animetourbus.wordpress.com. Thanks for hanging out with us. And until next week.
Bye.
Bye. How'd you get grizzly bear cum?